A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
KSL News Time, 3:45. The three things you need to know this hour. First,
a UDOT maintenance truck had to be hoisted from a water treatment canal in Big Cottonwood Canyon this morning. The truck veered off the road and crashed just below a dam where the water is treated. I'm KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ayers.
Second, the U of U women's basketball team is getting ready to play the LSU Tigers after winning their first two NCAA tournament games. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot.
That's I-15 in Davis County. Kaysville drivers are still dealing with this accident, tying up the left lanes of traffic on both sides of I-15, and it is creating a parking lot. If you can avoid this stretch northbound from Farmington up to Kaysville and southbound from Layton into Kaysville, do so. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Hey, look for rain showers today with a high of 49 degrees. I'm Matt Johnson.
36 in Salt Lake City now. KSL's top national stories from ABC News.
Experts say China's President Xi's visit to Moscow today and for the next 2 days is more about trying to be a peacemaker than showing support for Russian President Putin. White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
Efforts to end this conflict must take Ukraine's position into account. And so we encourage President Xi to play a constructive role by speaking with President Zelensky, which he has not done since Russia launched this invasion.
The State Department's welcoming the release of an American aid worker and a French journalist kidnapped and held by Islamic extremists in the African nation Niger. No ransom was paid, say U.S. officials. The cast of the TV series Ted Lasso at the White House talking about mental health. Advice from one of the stars, Jason Sudeikis.
Check in with your, you know, your neighbor, your coworker, your friends, your family, and ask how they're doing. And listen, sincerely.
Mental health issues figure in the show's plots. Wall Street major indexes closing higher as regulators make more moves to build confidence in the global banking industry. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Now the in-depth on KSL. The state of Utah unveiled a strategic plan to reduce homelessness last week. The plan calls on counties to set goals for building affordable housing. Joining me live on the KSL Newsline, Andrew Johnston is the director of homeless policy and outreach for Salt Lake City. Andrew, a question about long-term versus short-term. It seems that the state of Utah's plans are all about the long-term. Did they address the short-term problem of a growing population in the street?
Well, I think they looked at it maybe a 3 to 5 year cycle. So, yes, a lot of things are geared towards the long-term benefit with some best practices. But if you look at the implementation guide they also released at the same time, there are elements in there that can be implemented short-term the next year to 2 years.
So what can be done in Salt Lake City to reduce the homeless population on the street?
Well, I think they identify in there that you need housing, obviously, you talked about. So Salt Lake City has actually collaborated with the state for a lot of new housing this spring and summer is coming online. So that's an immediate thing we can do. And the second thing is working with Nate Wayne Niederhauser of the state and also the county about more emergency shelter beds for hopefully this year, but clearly next winter and going forward year-round, we hope, so that there is a legitimate place indoors for everybody all year-round.
Is there a timetable that's cut and dried for bringing new emergency shelters online?
Well, the state legislation, again, this year identified the process starts this month in March. to plan for next winter. And then that's a three-year cycle. And in the meantime, looking at the long term about do you need another facility, do you need multiple facilities, type of housing, those kind of things. So you'll see some work this summer going on and then into next winter and next year, hopefully 24-hour and year-round options.
So you're seeing this as a positive step. But beyond that, we talk about affordable housing. And maybe you can explain this to me. When you have people living on the street, what is affordable housing to them? I mean, how much can they afford to pay to have a permanent home?
Well, it's one of those nationwide questions for everybody, right? Ideally, I think a third to a quarter of your income every month should go towards your housing costs. So if you're making $700 a month in disability benefits, it's, you know, $200, $250 a month. That's your affordable for you. If you're a much higher earner at median income, then it's higher than that. Across the board, we need housing for everybody that's attainable and affordable. For folks we're talking about, it's a mixture of some things that where they could live in regular apartments, other places that was priced low enough. And then a lot of folks also need more serious services and supports on site. Permanent supportive housing, mental health supports, even outpatient clinics would be helpful.
But it starts with having a place to house these people who don't have a place.
Well, I think that if you look nationwide at homelessness as a general, as a whole, housing costs are the biggest driver. We talk here locally, and the strategic plan does as well, about their subpopulations, folks with mental illness, substance use issues, fixed income, disabilities, those kind of things that need a very targeted housing approach that the market won't provide. So we need public dollars to help subsidize that and make that happen. But in the overall sense, Utah's housing market is going to drive our homelessness needs for a long time. So we need to address the entire housing market while we hit these individual subclasses and sets.
I appreciate you coming on and shedding some light. Andrew Johnston, he's the Director of Homeless Policy and Outreach for Salt Lake City.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.